Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Welcome back to a special edition of Movies, Films, and Flicks. I'm your host, John Losvoff, joined, as always, by my co-host, Mark Hoffmeyer.
You know what I was thinking about today? There's this picture of a teddy bear, and it's standing on this bed. This kid's sleeping, and there's this teddy bear standing on the bed, and the teddy bear has a sword. And over the teddy bear is like this big monstrous shadow.
From that picture,
they signed The Rock to make a movie about just that picture. But I started wondering, what if that was like a mini Kurt Russell doll instead of that little teddy bear? Because we talked about that the other day, about a Kurt Russell doll wrestling with Chucky to like save the kid's soul.
Oh man.
How awesome would that be if a mini Kurt Russell doll battled demons while protecting children?
I would be there opening night and the night after and the night after and the night after.
I would fall asleep.
That would be like if Full Moon Entertainment straight to DVD release Doll Man didn't suck. Because they did a Doll Man and a Doll Man versus the Demonic Toys and a Doll Man Puppet Master crossover.
But just imagine like a 2 foot tall Kurt Russell doll. Kurt 2 foot tall Kurt Russell doll.
Already better than any of those Full Moon movies.
So, yeah, that's my thought for tonight.
John Levigood, how many tickets to that movie are you going to buy?
I'm going to buy all the tickets so that I can be there alone and only with the people who I choose.
Okay.
So that's what's going to happen.
You're one of those selfish Kurt Russell fans. I see.
I'm really curious about, though, I haven't done a lot of digging online yet, but I've just been hearing little blips about it on Twitter, is like James Wan is behind, I think, just producing and partly writing this horror movie called Demonic. Like some college kids, a Ouija board, things go wrong, something demonic gets summoned.
All those college kids.
Whatever. I'm excited about the prospect. I'm pretty sure that's the theme, unless I'm crossing two movies. But there's James Wan is backing a horror movie called Demonic. And I haven't started my little online expedition to learn about it, but that just popped in my head. I'm really excited for it. Remember back when James Wan was saying he wouldn't do another horror movie, and then he came back? I was really happy about that.
But that's good, though, because he came back when he had a good idea. He wasn't forcing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of forcing it, here's a non-forced segue.
I was really worried about where you're going with that.
Anyway, let's start this podcast off like we do every podcast. Levigood, I believe you have a listener question for us this week.
That's right. For this special episode, we are just doing one listener question. It comes from my very good friend David from Fort Lauderdale via Facebook. And he asks, do zombievers or any other zom animals have to worry about zom ticks or zom fleas?
Well, don't they do that anyway? Like just suck blood? So they're basically zombies anyway.
So no, it's like, that's vampires.
You know what I mean? Like,
vampires.
Yo, oh, yeah. Oops. Well, all right. So then I'd rather deal with a zombie tick. Well, no, that would be terrible.
Wait.
I mean, either way, they're trying to eat you.
So if you get bitten by a zombie tick, does that mean you turn into a zombie or a zombie tick?
Well, in Zombievers, when the chick got bit, she turned into this, like, beaver zombie human hybrid.
Right. Dude, that would be the worst, a zombie tick.
Wait, hold on. So what do zombie ticks, like, eat? Do they eat flesh, or do they drink blood like a vampire? And at that point, are they still considered zombies, or are they just, like, pseudo-vampires?
This sounds terrible, guys. I need a Kurt Russell doll.
So what happens if a zombiever is infested with zom ticks and zom fleas? Do the zombie pests eat the zombiever?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But he swims. Can they stay underwater for a while?
Those fleas can survive a lot, man. Those fleas can hold their breath better than a beaver.
I mean, a beaver wouldn't a dead beaver wouldn't notice if the fleas and ticks were eating it.
But then again, a zom beaver doesn't need to breathe, nor does a zom tick or a zom flea.
You don't know that for sure.
Like, this is tough to deal with here. I mean, the only way to really solve this problem is to burn it all.
Yeah, I think it's just the same thing. I think, you know what? So let's say you're a beaver and you're kind of chilling and you have fleas and ticks on you. You're going to be itching, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be terrible. But when you turn into a zombiever and you have, you know, zom ticks and fleas, you're not going to feel it. So I think I'd rather prefer to be a zombie and have zom ticks and zom fleas on me.
I wonder if a zom tick bit a regular non-zombie beaver, would you have a zom tick beaver where the beaver, like the zom beaver human hybrid was in the movie, like, would this zom beaver grow extra limbs like a tick?
Well, that'd be terrible.
Like, or if a human got bit by a zom tick beaver, would you then have a beaver tail, buck teeth, and 8 limbs?
Oh my gosh.
Like, is this like a cascade? What, like, kind of like with like H1N1 or swine flu, where it's multiple species crossing? Like, can you just keep adding zombie animal hybrids and keep adding animal characteristics?
I'm honestly more confused now than before we asked the question.
I think that's an MFF thing, though. We make people either more confused or we slightly answer it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Whatever. David, that was a really cool question, and we very quickly went some very strange places, and I appreciate it.
I don't think we even slightly answered it. I think we just made it even more muddled.
No. We acknowledged that, yeah, with the Zomtex. We got it.
You know, David asked us to wipe this window clean, and we just, like, splashed mud all over it.
We smeared zombiever blood.
Wait,
all over.
Where did this question start? Did he ask if Terms of Endearment was our favorite Jeff Daniels film? Is that how we got to this?
It sounds familiar.
Favorite Jeff Daniels film, Arachnophobia.
That's, oh, gosh. Zom dumb spiders.
And Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
I got to go with I'm drawing a blank.
The Newsroom.
Let's move on.
Close enough.
The Lookout.
All right. So you're probably wondering right now why we keep calling this episode a special edition of Movies, Films, and Flicks. Mark, do you care to enlighten our listeners?
Yeah, so the last podcast we released, it was about I wrote a post on Movies, Films, and Flicks that really kind of took off and got a lot of traction on AV Club and Reddit and all that. And I just basically, I did four things. I collected hundreds of films. I looked at hundreds of 21st century horror films, right? Then I collected a list of 160. Then I broke down their data. What I did was I took the top 20 critically rated horror films according to Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic critic users. Then I took the top 20 audience rated horror films according to IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes audience scores, and Metacritic users. So I did critics users. Then I took the top 25 rated horror films from Rotten Tomato critics, Rotten Tomato audiences, Metacritic users, Metacritic critics, and IMDb users. So I got a combined critic and user score. Then I got the top rated, 10 top rated horror films according to Shock to You Drop, Dead Central, Fangoria, Bloody Disgusting, and Bloody Good Horror. So I released four lists. And, you know, we've already talked about this ad nauseum and how we got the data. And I feel like it was really good, the data, because I just collected everything. I put everything together. So, I mean, even if it's a dark fantasy thriller, there's horror elements involved. I just collected every aspect of horror that you could get. And I eventually took, so after I broke down all the data, I took the top 10 films that were voted on by audiences and critics. So I did the top 10 of those, and I'll go down here and I'll let you guys know which top 10 those are. Let's see, where are you? I did Pan's Labyrinth, Let the Right One In, Shaun of the Dead, Devil's Backbone, Wreck, What We Do in the Shadows, The Gift, The Loved Ones, Black Swan, and Zombieland. And I added in genre favorites and other movies that were in the horror lovers, you know, their favorites, the underground films like Martyrs, Babadook, The Others, 28 Days Later, Housebound, The Conjuring, I Saw the Devil, The Descent. So on top of the top 10 films, I went and I added more. And I also added in my voting poll another option where if you didn't see the movies you liked, you could click in and write what you like in there. And we ended up getting about 3,500 votes. And, you know, I thought it'd be kind of cool. I thought, you know, the heyday was over with this list. And so I collected the data and I wrote a post about the 21 best horror films of the 21st century. And I culled these from the top 21 that were voted on from our MFF poll. So I did all that data. I accumulated what I thought were the best representation of every aspect of horror that you could find. You know, we had Martyrs, Drag Me to Hell, Inside. I mean, every high tension. I had The Conjuring. So I added just a ton of different horror films, and I came up with this list of 21, and I released it 2 days ago. But a funny thing happened. AV Club picked it up again, and many different websites, radio stations picked it up, and we've been getting, you know, 40,000 plus views just from these results that we got from movie films and flicks. I do think that the people who voted on this list, they came from Reddit, AV Club. To get to this list, they needed to, you know, it wasn't just a random poll where people just walked out of a JCPenney and we asked them. To get to this poll, they had to get there from AV Club or be intrigued by Reddit. So I believe the people that did vote on this poll were actual horror lovers. And so I unleashed this thing not thinking it would be that huge. But since I put it out, it's been kind of like a bomb across the internet. And I just want to do a quick post to kind of talk about the films and how they are ranked. And I'm going to talk about what's – I'm going to go from 21 down, and then we're just going to kind of talk. So 21 was a tie between Session 9 and Devil's Rejects. 20 was What We Do in the Shadows. 19, Paranormal Activity. 18, The Mist. 17, House of the Devil. 16, American Psycho, which was filmed in 2000, but it was released in 2000, but I found it on many lists, so I just included it. Number 15 was Trick or Treat, which we talked about last week, was kind of a surprise because it doesn't have any critic and audience scores. 14 is Wreck. 13 is Martyrs. 12 is The Conjuring. 11 is The Ring, the 2002 remake. Then we have Drag Me to Hell is number 10. Mulholland Drive is number 9, Shaun of the Dead 8, Babadook 7, It Follows 6, Let the Right One In 5, Descent 4, 28 Days Later 3, Pan's Labyrinth 2, and number 1, which has been like spread all over the place, and you know, they pick like is Cabin of the Woods. So Cabin of the Woods Facebook page, which has like 600,000 page likes. It's floating around the internet now. It's sort of become Cabin in the Woods is the best horror film of the 21st century, according to MFF, and it's been getting a lot of traction. So I just kind of wanted to talk about the post and how it's getting big. So, Levengood, what have you thought about this the last couple days for us?
Well, we got a lot of lists, a lot of different lists that contributed to that. I think that's what's most exciting. I mean, you know, you did your critics, you did just your audiences, you did audiences plus critics. Then you presented that list, right? So that was already a Herculean task in itself. And then, of course, way in the original, you had to pick all the movies that you were judging to get these scores for. So I can't imagine the level of work that went into it just getting to here. But then you had viewers vote on them. Then you had those lists. I mean, this is not just someone throwing up an arbitrary list on the internet, which honestly is what almost every horror best of horror list on the internet is. It's the qualitative judgment of one person or the summary of scores on one website. And so to me, this is. You have actually asked the people for their favorite horror movies. And as it turns out, when you ask the people for their favorite horror movies and put it on the internet, a lot of people are strikingly unhappy with the results. It's almost like electing a president. Like, you ask the people in a way that is the most fair, all-inclusive way of gauging a top horror list, and you have a huge proportion of unhappy or snippety or snarky commenters between Reddit all over the place and the AV Club and our website, Movies, Films, and Flicks. I think it's very interesting when you see – you give them what they want and then they don't want it.
I mean there have been a lot of people wonder why The Shining wasn't on the list. You know, I think they didn't see that was from the 21st century. And a lot of people are really mad about Cabin in the Woods, and they're saying Mulholland Drive isn't horror, American Psycho isn't horror. But there have been like a lot of, you know what my favorite comment was? It was from the AV Club. Some guy's like, I thought this list would be atrocious, but it turns out I love most of these movies. And like actually the comments, I don't know if it's like the vocal minority that have been like not liking the list, but I think it has gotten a good response just from the sheer number of shares. You know, like if people hated it, it might have been squashed.
Oh, sure, sure. And I'm referring to a lot of complainers, but it's really just, you know, trollers on Reddit. And people are more likely to speak up with a complaint or just to hear themselves speak than they are to pat you on the back. When everything's good and they don't have anything original to add, I think that people tend to be quiet.
You know, I'm honestly really surprised by the response because, you know, usually the horror genre, it's, you know, in relative terms, it's kind of a niche genre. I mean, it doesn't, I don't know, it's just not as popular as like the action movies or the comedies or, you know, the romances. And it's just like
inferior genres.
Yeah, it's awesome to see such a huge response for the horror list, because it tells me like, hey, there's a lot of love for horror movies out there. It just, for some reason, it doesn't always translate to, you know, critical and commercial success all the time.
And Cabin in the Woods, I'm going to tell you, I think this wins every time on big lists. And I'll tell you why. And people probably think I'm crazy and I'm stupid, but Joss Whedon has a very supportive fan base. All right. So anytime that people know that there's a vote, they're going to vote for him. But also, Cabin in the Woods, it puts a spin on the horror genre. It turns it to 180 degrees and lets like a merman eat it. Not only it was like really delayed, so when it hit theaters, it already had a fan base because people were like, "Get Joss Whedon's movie out there." So it already had a lot of positive buzz, and then it came out, and the movie has a lot of guts, like literally and figuratively. You know, and it was kind of told from like an angry place because Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard were like thinking about movies where we just go to movies to watch people die. So then we have these people watching the screens while these smart teenagers who are made dumb die. So it was kind of coming from an angry place. It was bounding with creativity. I mean, sometimes it was a little too cute by half, but you know, like Star Wars, when you go in the cantina and like whole books were written about characters in the cantina and Jabba's palace. There's monsters that people still talk about, like going through all the creative monsters. I mean, there's blood, there's guts, there's death by trowel, there's like stoner jokes. I think it plays with the Harbinger. Like it takes the genre, and I'm not saying. You know, I guess. Oh, and I mean, if you look at movies like Alien, a lot of people were making like gooey monster flicks, and that really changed the genre and made it better. Scream made it really kind of meta, and it played a joke with it. And I think Cabin in the Woods did that for this century. And I think it deserves the praise for what it has, and it has a very loyal fan base.
Oh, for sure. They did something new. Scream did something new, and Cabin in the Woods did something new, but they didn't do the same new thing, right? They both stood out. I mean, if you ask me, all these people were complaining. They're complaining because of all the things that they recognize in the movie. They recognize the tropes, even though they realize they're being told these are tropes. And they recognize a lot of these monsters because they're either plays on monsters, like there was a spin on Hellraiser's Pinhead in there, like a Cenobite thing. There are other things that you wonder what it is, other things from J-horror. But like they recognize a lot of things. But the fact is to anyone who's criticizing this horror movie for its originality – what have you seen that's like it? What did it borrow? Because if it borrowed things, it borrowed any one thing for no more than 60 seconds. It didn't borrow a plot.
Yeah. And no, I mean, I think it's exciting that this was voted for. And you know what, though? I think this was the perfect film to be number one because of the amount of discussion it got. You know what I mean? Like, I think if Descent would have been number one, everyone would have been like, all right. But like, Cabin in the Woods got it, and everyone's like, what? Like, you know what I mean? I think it's been a good thing for discussion. So I think it worked perfectly to kind of spread the word out about this film.
Well, I'm glad Cabin in the Woods is getting the attention it's getting now, because it's a movie that basically highlights like all the tropes from all these horror movies. And because this is my hope, is that like, you know, any potential horror filmmakers will look at this movie and, you know, after they watch this movie, like they'll go like, okay. So Cabin in the Woods just basically took all these tropes and eviscerated them. I had to come up with new ideas for horror movies. You know, that's my hope, that, you know, Cabin in the Woods will inspire, like, you know, just legions of, you know, filmmakers just inspiring him to do like more creative things in the horror genre.
And that's what we've been talking about. 2014, 2015, we saw The Babadook, It Follows, Honeymoon, Spring. A lot of these movies that took different horror things and made something different with it. So I do think that, like Honeymoon, it's about a cabin in the woods, but it's actually a happy couple that's on their honeymoon that go to a cabin. Yeah. Rarely it's always like the drunk co-eds or like the fighting couples. So like it kind of, you know, it did something really original by making you, you know, like the characters, which is kind of new. But I don't know, were there any surprises on this list? I was happy to see Trick or Treat at number 15. I didn't think The Ring was going to be that highly rated.
But both of those shocked me, yeah. I mean, the Trick or Treat, I feel like, has more of the cult following. The Ring, I thought it would get lumped into the J-horror remakes and get forgotten in the very best of.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that they showed up. And Shaun of the Dead, you know, I mean, even though a lot of people love that movie, there are, I swear, I want to say 10% of the snarky little people on Reddit. I'm sorry, Reddit people, I love you. I'm one of you. I'm one of you snarky people on Reddit. But like the people on Reddit, that's a comedy. It's not a horror. It's like, God, can't they share?
Yeah.
Can't we share Pan's Labyrinth? What'd they call Pan's Labyrinth?
Oh, well, a dark fantasy war thriller.
Like, it's not like there's a dark fantasy war thriller list out there where that belongs instead. So, like, people, can't these genres just share and play along?
No. And like, there have to be definite lines.
And so, I don't know. And, like, I don't know. You know what I love about Shaun of the Dead? There's a 2-minute Steadicam shot where it doesn't focus on, like, big-time action or anything. It's just him walking, not noticing the zombies.
Yeah, in the background.
Yeah, it's a brilliantly executed and rehearsed shot that took, you know, a nightmarish amount of time. And they did it as a joke to show how oblivious he was. Like, I love it. I think that's a brilliant take. And so, I don't know, but I guess, you know, part of, you know, we definitely want to say thank you to everyone that's checked out the podcast and listened to this. I mean, without the votes, it wouldn't have been that big. But it's also been kind of fun, you know, I mean, people voted, horror fans voted for this list. And I just love that every horror list I think it's made, people are going to complain about. But the thing that's different about this is this got drawn together from hundreds of films placed in one list and voted on by people who are fans of horror. So I think this is a pretty good representation of it. And I was happy to see like The Mist and House of the Devil. Like there's some mean little movies on here. Like Mist is a tough film. Devil's Rejects like will make your television sweat. And it made the top 21. Seriously, you watch that movie and everything about you stressed out, but like it's well done. And like The Ring is one of the bleakest PG-13 films I've ever seen in my life, but it looks beautiful. I don't know. And I wish Descent would have been number one because that's my favorite of all time. But I mean, I don't know. It's just been fun to watch. It's been fun to get the clicks. I think, yeah, I guess some there's a few things that people are kind of mad about being left out. But I think this is a pretty good representation of the 21 best films so far.
Can we talk about the silly thing that people are mad about? How can this be the best list of the century or the 21st century when the 21st century isn't over yet?
Yeah, why didn't you guys wait another 85 years to make this list? What's wrong with you?
Like
that comment's so I laugh every time I see it because you can't really reply because I mean the person didn't really think it through, but it is pretty funny to read.
And shy of quoting people's comments, folks, we know that the year 2000 isn't a part of that of this or millennium. It just looks nicer on paper.
But like, I do think these top 10 movies really did usher in. Some different things. Pan's Labyrinth really opened the door for this like serious fantasy. Like it was nightmarish, and I think it opened the door for a lot more films to be made. 28 Days Later, I mean, it's rage-infested zombies. They could beat out the World War Z people. But, I mean, without this movie, you know, you wouldn't have the whole new revitalized zombie genre or rage-infected people. The Descent, I think, is pure glory. Let the Right One In is, like, a beautiful Swedish film about, you know, little vampires. And I think It Follows is pretty interesting. I think that was a bit of a knee-jerk at number 6. But I think it incorporates urgency, patience, and dread and You know, Babadook, I think, is a... You know what I loved about the woman who did the Babadook? She had this quote. She said, "I continue to watch modern horror films despite the constant disappointment. I don't think there are a lot of filmmakers making horror now know its worth or realize the potential of the genre. Just because it's a horror film doesn't mean it can't be deep. I think a lot of filmmakers who make horror now go in with dubious motives, money predominantly. They want to make a film that will feel like a theme park ride and ultimately make a lot of money. But horror is a pure form of cinema. I think there are some modern day filmmakers out there who understand that. The films that will stand the test of time are the ones that have depth." And I think a lot of these top 10 films have depth to them. I mean, just think about the car park fight in the parking garage or Dragging Me to Hell. I mean,
my goodness.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I know that's a long-winded quote I just had, but I do think a lot of these horror films on this list have depth to them.
I think that's fair because with very few exceptions, a lot of these movies, I feel like if we all listed our favorite scene from Shaun of the Dead, for instance, or It Follows or The Descent, no two of us might match. But if we all gave our the most memorable or coolest scene from The Ring, we would almost certainly overlap in what we said. It's like The Ring comes down to two scenes, doesn't it?
The TV and the well?
I'd say the well, yeah, the where it comes through the TV, and I'd say the very first thing that we remember from the trailer. Did you see, they keep talking about a face. The first time you see the open face, the gaping slack-jawed face. Mm. It's like those were the two scenes that just resonated. Whereas if we talked about It Follows or Shaun of the Dead or The Descent, we're going to come up, just the three of us, maybe with three different scenes. You know, there are movies that do that. They have loads of memorable scenes. I think those are naturally the better movies. Not that The Ring wasn't powerful.
And I think Paranormal Activity does that a little bit. Like, my favorite scene from Paranormal Activity is when that, like, psychic walks in the house and goes, "Whoa, I shouldn't be here. I'm making it worse. Peace." And then he leaves the house.
That was a trope breaker.
Yeah.
That picked up the trope of the medium and broke its back over his neck like Jean-Claude Van Damme's brother in Kickboxer. Like,
and you know what? Like, you know, everyone applauded Insidious, which I think is a fantastic film, but they applauded them for leaving the house. But in Paranormal Activity, they're like, it doesn't matter if you leave the house or not. This jerky red demon named Toby is going to wipe you out. So I thought that kind of ushered in some new stuff. I think What We Do in the Shadows is brilliant, if you haven't watched that. And then, I don't know, Devil's Rejects. I want to talk about this. Like, Roger Ebert gave it 3 stars. But he's like, I will never recommend it to anybody. It's like the dirtiest, grossest movie, but it's so good. Like that guy, Otis, when he's like, boy, the next word that comes out of your mouth better be some brilliant Mark Twain shit, because it's definitely getting chiseled on your tombstone. Like, it's a smart, gross movie. You know what I mean?
Mm. So I've been watching Lazavath with this smile on his face for the last 5 minutes. Like, he's just – I don't know if he's just enjoying the horror reverie or if he's loaded with the best snippety little comments ever.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Time to wrap up the podcast.
Oh, God. He was just basking in the ambiance.
Wait, before we go, though, another movie that made the list, House of the Devil, it built to an entire jump scare, one scare. It built to one moment, and you have to, like, applaud it for that. So I'm very happy with these 21 films. I want to say thank you to everyone that voted. You know, sorry if we're sounding like we're harping on some things, but just realize that, you know, I tried to get the most data possible for the best list that could be voted on by readers. And I think it's a great encapsulation of 21st century horror plus 2000 with American Psycho. And I just enjoy, guys. And, if you have any comments, if you think the other movies should have been added, we do have a poll right now on Movies, Films, and Flicks where the if you're looking at it, what's the date today? I don't know, August something. But if you're looking at the post with the top 21, there's a voting poll on the bottom, which movies were left out or which movies will never be on the best of list. So just vote for those.
All right. I think before we sign off, do we have any plugs to make real quick?
I think we got a lot of websites to thank for sharing our material.
Yeah, AV Club.
I'm sorry, my material. Mark wrote this beautiful set of articles. I actually had nothing to do with it, but giving him a line every now and then.
Go ahead, take credit, Loving Good. I'm sure Mark wouldn't mind.
Yeah, thank you, AV Club. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Movie Pilot. Thank you, man.
Escapist Magazine.
Yeah, and then a Philly magazine shared us. So that's
thank you, cool. Snarky Reddit commenters, for providing us entertainment. Snarky.
You guys, your mean comments are the field from which we harvest new good ideas to put on Reddit for you to tear apart again.
Wow, that was really poetic, Levin. Good.
No, I mean, you know what? I'm just happy people are commenting. Like we, you know, we had, you know, this thing's been shared, you know, 8,000 times probably. I mean, there's tons of comments, and it's just been fun that like our website could start so many comments. So even if it's negative, positive, indifferent. It's neat that we could at least engage the world in a cool, like, horror conversation.
Although we prefer the positive over the negative.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of positive, we owe a big thanks also to the Facebook pages for The Cabin in the Woods, and especially the Facebook page for The Devil's Rejects. They gave us a lot of love, and they helped us out.
How many friends does the Devil's Rejects page have?
Over a million.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah. People. I mean, it blew up. Yeah, I mean, they shared that, and you know, hopefully, you're helping out the movies. And we have more votes for this new poll than we had for this poll, which is all over the place. So that'll be interesting to share.
I missed the MySpace. Can I just see
those Devil's Rejects guys? They were tied for number 21, and they were so thrilled they put it on their page.
Yeah.
You know, I miss the MySpace days where you have like a top eight of your friends. I'll definitely put the Devil's Rejects as like in my top eight as a friend.
That's some Mark Twain stuff.
Yeah,
right there.
For my co-host Mark Hoffmeyer, who I think was like, I had him at number 4 or 5 on my top 8.
Yeah, we were, weren't we? Yeah, we were on MySpace buds.
And John Lovegood, who I don't think I had you on my MySpace back then.
So. I was on MySpace for about a minute. I was like the dude who dies first in a horror movie for MySpace.
Yeah. No, you were not top 8 worthy then. I've been your host, John Lossler. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Good night.
Target. T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark. Go, go, go.
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.